This podcast is empowering men to step out of their vulnerability shame, ignite self-expression, self-love, and surrender into freedom. Hello, and welcome to another episode. Today, I was so excited to speak to Chantal Raven. Chantal is a Tantra teacher who made such an impression on me when I had the opportunity to work with her at the beginning of the year when I attended one of her weekend workshops here in Melbourne. It was one powerful and orgasmic weekend, especially as I was able to share this work with my partner, who had no idea what was in store for him. Thankfully, he loved it. It opened his eyes to Tantra and the healing foundations of presence, breath, sound, movement, and touch. We found a very new way to communicate and bond with each other as we were able to fully surrender into the magic of Tantra and integrate the wisdom of this work through energy and transmission. Chantal has a passion for spiritual awakening, a deep love for people, and a unique understanding of the psyche, the body, and sexuality. She shares her journey to becoming a teacher and the amazing life that she has created since taking the path, being of service to people, and helping men and women discover the gifts of life, which she calls Tantra. Chantal was originally trained as a lawyer, working her way to become a CEO of a sales business. But she was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and this saw her take a very different journey into the alternative arts, where she uncovered her heart's vocation in Tantra. We talk about radical responsibility, being responsible for your own sexual pleasure, connection and joy, all coming back to self-love. We talk about sacred sexuality and union, and how meeting her husband allowed her to receive and have a very different perspective on Tantra. She learned the power behind Kundalini, being able to express the power of moving the body to feel the openness of the heart together with a pelvis so you can connect deeply to consciousness. I could go on forever talking about what Chantal shared with me, but I'm gonna leave it for you to sit back and enjoy this very juicy and heartfelt chat with Chantal. This is definitely going to inspire you to go and be in touch with your orgasmic energy. Embracing life is one big orgasm, giving yourself permission to feel everything fully. Hi, Chantal.
Hi, Sharon.
So lovely to reconnect with you again.
You too, darling.
I just want to say, yeah, so much gratitude and big heartfelt thank you for coming on to the show. I'm really, really excited to actually be speaking to you on all things sensual today. So I had the honor and privilege to work with you and your team many months ago when you were here in Melbourne doing a weekend workshop, and my partner and I attended this weekend workshop that you held, and it was incredibly powerful for the both of us, and especially for my partner Tim, who had never really dipped or he'd never dipped his toes into the world of Tantra. So that was a bit of an eye-opener for him, but he absolutely loved it, and he gained so many great tools and understanding to what Tantra is all about. So today I really want to keep this as a really open chat, obviously diving into the world of Tantra, but most importantly, talking about your passion and your deep love for supporting people to awaken consciousness in their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chantal, can you talk me through? You have a really interesting background. You are actually a lawyer that left the corporate scene to follow one of your purposes. So, can we talk about how did Tantra find you, or how did you find Tantra? How did you know this was your following, your path?
Well, I had explored quite a bit of different quite a few different modalities in the arena of alternative healing and spirituality all through my 20s and all through my life, really. My dad was a EFT practitioner, emotional freedom technique, and somewhat of a mystic and esoteric genius. So I was exposed to it all through my life. And I did an honours in philosophy, which was also a dive into different philosophical concepts, which opened me to our essential nature, you know, spirit, and how actually when we're not restricted to this 3D reality, there is something else that's just as real. So I was already open to that. And when I did my law degree, I really found it difficult to kind of just be restricted to concepts and the mind. And I would kind of infuse a lot of what I would do at law with philosophy and with spirituality. But eventually I was like, oh, I'm trying to be someone I'm not. I'm trying to fit into this model of learning and be in a field that actually my soul doesn't resonate with. But, you know, I had my law degree and kind of thought it's a bit of a waste if I don't practice. So I did practice for 6 months and found it to be quite a soul-destroying experience. So I left the law firm, and then I did the Rudolf Steiner teacher training, and that was Rudolf Steiner is a German man who began this whole different stream of educating children, which honored that children have feelings and a spirit and that that needs to be fostered as well as the mind. So that was another huge eye-opener for me. And then I had two children, and in the time that I was really in my early motherhood phase, I was exploring helping women through with spiritual tools, but also helping them with practical tools around sleep and spiritual parenting, a lot of the stuff I learned at Steiner. And that was going really well, but what I noticed is that no matter how much I helped parents with sleep and with different ways to bring spirituality into parenting, if their relationship wasn't going well, the child really didn't stand much of a chance. So that led me down a path of being interested in how to help people with their relationships. So I read lots of books around it. And the Tantra books definitely interested me the most, but not enough for it to become my soul calling. And I actually went back into the corporate world and got involved in sales and then started training people in sales. So I was doing that alongside the parenting stuff and really not sure what I wanted to do. It definitely wasn't, oh, I found my purpose, this is it. I was kind of, it excited me and lit me up. And then I was diagnosed with cervical cancer. This, if you can imagine like a river flowing, this kind of put a boulder in the flow, and I could feel that, okay, there must be something here to look at, because I knew that disease and physical things that show up in the body are representative of something going on emotionally. And the fact that it was in my womb got me looking at my feminine. And yeah, I thought, okay, I need to get away from my usual healing tools, which were meditation, EFT, affirmations, and, you know, kind of the popular new age spirituality. And I contacted a shamanic healer who a friend of mine knew, and he was also a tantric master, which was unbeknown to me at the time. And I had one session with him that went for 6 hours, and
wow,
you know, he was feeling into my ancestral line and feeling into actually later I met my totem animal, which is the raven. But at the time he saw ravens coming out of my shoulders, and yeah, all of this, it was pretty unfamiliar to me, quite out there. And also at different points in the session, I was feeling anger that I'd never really felt before, and a deeper grief than I'd allowed myself to feel. And by the end of the session, my sexual energy was really roused and moving and part of the healing process. So my world was kind of spun in that session. And I thought, okay, what is this? And started asking him about what he does. And he talked to me about shamanism and tantra. And then I kept working with him and learning more and more about the power of energy, the power of the emotional body and what happens when we suppress our emotions. And I also started learning about sexual energy and how that comes into healing. And I actually ended up becoming partners with this man. And I guess my initiation into Tantra, the true initiation, came through our relationship and through our lovemaking, where I was suddenly making love to a man who was constantly wanting the energy to be moved away from localized in the genitals to being in the heart and to being in the crown and connecting to God through sexuality. So yeah, that's sounds like a long version, but that's the short version of led me to Tantra.
It's a beautiful story. So how long ago was that when you were, I suppose, initiated and I suppose you had that pivotal moment of going, I've got to follow this through. I've got to see where I can go from here. And being a teacher.
It was 10 years ago when I was first introduced to it. And then I just threw myself completely into it. I read everything I could on it. I went and did a training with ISTA, the International School of Temple Arts, and ended up becoming part of their support team and following them around the world and supporting on lots of trainings and learning by direct transmission. And yeah, I just really threw myself into it. And then I had a mentor who I would work with kind of daily, and that one-on-one teacher really helped me to have mastery around radical self-responsibility, I guess, like really becoming responsible for my own sexual pleasure, becoming responsible for my emotional body, becoming responsible for my connection to joy and pleasure. So yeah.
Yeah, I love how you touched on that, you know, being responsible for our own sexual pleasure and our own energy, because as humans, you know, we are so conditioned and it's quite habitual, or sometimes it's very unconscious, that, you know, to go externally to find that instead of going within and doing the work to really fill up our own love cup and make us feel really sensual and our own pleasure. There's a lot of shame around that, especially with men. So I'm really glad that you touched on that. And that's kind of been my journey of the last few years, is, you know, coming back to self-love and knowing my self-worth, so then I can totally be held and seen in all of me by my partner.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your Tantra school, Elia Tantra School, can you talk a bit about that? Because you have so many great offerings, and I so wish I was in Perth.
Me too. Yeah, so Elia really started birthing when I met my husband. So I became a facilitator for ISTA, the International School of Temple Arts, and was doing a lot of work with them. And then I met Simon and was really introduced to a different level of Tantra, which was more centered around sacred union and Kundalini. Mm. And my journey with him has been one of really deepening into how sexuality in the bedroom really needs to match the intimacy out of the bedroom. And the level of devotion and commitment and extraordinary sexual energy that matches the love and kindness that Simon would show really gave me a whole new initiation. Mm. So my initial introduction to Tantra was in a polyamorous field. And
wow.
I just thought that
just thrown in it.
That once you became tantric, you know, it's like polyamory seemed to be such a strong part of that culture. And there was a lot of talk around, you know, if you really want to allow someone complete freedom and have compersion, you know, be happy when they're happy, then you're not going to take away their sexual freedom. And I worked through a lot of jealousy. And then when I met Simon, he was so monogamous in every sense of the word, physically, emotionally, energetically, that I started to get this different transmission and that, okay, so this is an amazingly tantric man who's very shamanic, but his energy was a lot more, his sexual energy was a lot more contained. So that was one thing that really kind of shifted my perspective. The second thing was his knowledge and embodiment and teachings around Kundalini energy. So I really started learning about the power of Kundalini, which helped hugely in my self-pleasure practice. So what I'd learned in Tantra around self-pleasure was mostly around how to touch myself as though I'm my best lover. And that was really beautiful and eye-opening. But then what Simon introduced me to was this beautiful way of moving my body and matching, like feeling the openness of the heart equal to the openness of the pelvis and the openness of my consciousness equal to the openness of my heart and pelvis. So there was this three-way communication suddenly happening in my body where my pelvis would move and then I would take that energy into my heart and see if I could equal that energy and then up into my connection to God. It's kind of hard to describe with words, but this was to me quite revolutionary, really. And it really excited me what I was experiencing. So I actually started teaching with Simon and left ISTA, and it kind of felt like the next stage of my own growth, but also teaching. And, you know, one of the things that I've always created when I taught and what I've been taught by my teachers is to create a ceremonial space. And what it feels like with a liar is that it's a very safe field. And we're still free to explore our sexual energy, and there's so much beauty and so much rawness and so much activation going on. But there's also a level of containment where there's, we hold a more monogamous field.
Yes.
And we all, I've lost my train of thought. That's okay.
Sorry to interrupt. I was, going to pitch in and say that was one thing I loved about your workshop, is that you really helped me to access this energy force through this deep embodiment work, you know, working with our partners, you know, being able to share it and working together as union. That was so, so beautiful, so powerful.
Yeah, great. Yeah, and I like that people can feel that. I mean, it was very hard for me when I would be in tantric fields with my partner and seeing him connect with other women, and and it was great. It was great, and it taught me a lot. But I also feel that the things that I learned from having to work through that can be learned in other ways and can be felt in other ways. That's just my personal opinion. So now where Elias sits is that Simon and I, we stopped teaching together because we felt it was impacting our sacred union in a way that wasn't really serving us. And now he's got his own ceremonies that he creates, and I've got my own work that I create. And sometimes we come together, but more in a supportive role of each other's work. And of course, we both learned so much from each other because we came from completely different backgrounds. So now my emphasis is on women's courses. I run 7 women's courses, and they all are resonant with a different chakra in the body. So it's called the Living Tantra series. So there's one that is more focused on sacred sexuality. There's one that's more focused on relationship, one that's more focused on mystical awakening. So we have all of these different courses for women to really open different parts of their being so that we can live in wholeness. And my retreat do the same thing. It's, you know, what I'm really passionate about is bringing everything together, bringing all the unconscious aspects of the psyche into consciousness, bringing sexuality together with mysticism, bringing feminine and masculine together into union, bringing the heart and the base and consciousness together. So it's like, can we be completely inclusive with every single part of us so that we can just be ourselves and be totally present and totally real and authentic and living our soul truth and not compromising on that, because the integrity of the wholeness that we're feeling within is so strong that it ignites a spark in our heart that cannot help but to express itself from our own essential nature. You know, I think there's so much going on in all the different realms of existence, including spirituality, where people are kind of following trends. And what I say to that is, allow yourself to feel everything from the very base, from your sexuality to your power, to your heart, to your throat, to your third eye, to your connection to God, and feel, who am I and what do I have to bring here? And let that experience be something that's not a mind experience. What are you turned on by? It's like, you know, sexuality, there's so many different areas to explore. And sublimation is often seen as just being about ejaculatory control for a man. But sublimation goes much deeper than that. It's about sublimating all that energy that we have often repressed in our lower chakras up through the body, to express itself as our life purpose, as well as intimacy and connection to God. And it's like, this is where it's at. Can we reclaim our erotic innocence and let it burn through our whole bodies so that we're fully expressed individuals in the bedroom and out of the bedroom? So sublimation isn't just about not having clit orgasms or not ejaculating. It's also about bringing your passions, your emotional body, and your sexuality up and out into the world when we're not making love. Yeah. What does that look like?
Yeah. I so feel all that right now. and I do feel that, you know, people are ready for this work, but there's still, you know, there's some shame around that still. And, you know, people are so concerned about the outcome when it comes to sexual pleasure or orgasming or being intimate with their partner. And another thing I loved about your workshop, and I know you had Nick that was assisting you, that was working quite closely with the men, was really encouraging them to have this, you know, that you can achieve this all body orgasm without actually orgasming, you know, through, you know, penetration, through your ejaculation. So can we talk about that?
Yeah, well, it's like reframing orgasm from a genital sneeze. Yeah. From a genital experience that lasts a few minutes through either a clit orgasm or when a man ejaculates, to orgasmic energy as a freaking healing modality, as energy that's ripping through your body and connecting you so deeply with someone, that love becomes medicine, and that you're feeling everything through every cell of your body, and you're circulating energy with someone. And as that energy is moving, you're pushing out anything that's not love. And so you're letting go of stress. You're letting go of all of the crap that the mind, you know, all the thoughts. And that breath, sound, and movement that comes through when we have the short orgasmic experience, the explosive orgasm, if we're breathing and sounding and moving through all of lovemaking, if we're keeping eye contact, if we're breathing the person all the way into us and we're feeling connected at our hearts and exchanging energy there, then instead of just being focused on the goal of ejaculation or clit orgasm, we're expanding it into being fully present in the moment. And the reason that, you know, I talk a lot about tantra in and out of the bedroom and orgasmic energy in and out of the bedroom is because orgasmic energy is life force energy. It's kundalini shakti. And most of us, the way that we live our lives is going from one goal to the next and focusing on the future. And that's why it carries through the bedroom. So once we can tap into the power of orgasmic energy, we're not just making love in the bedroom, we're making love to all of life, because we're giving ourselves permission to feel everything. You know, we're stepping outside and we're receiving the touch of wind on our faces and the touch of the earth on our feet and the sunshine on our faces. Just like in the bedroom, we're feeling the conscious, loving, present touch of our lover as they stroke us or as they grab us. you know, and there's all these different experiences. Some are wild, some are soft and tender, some are creating safety and more of an embrace. And it's like orgasmic energy naturally arises when we give ourselves permission to feel everything fully. Mm. And the more that, the more potential of orgasmic energy we have to really tap into.
Yeah. I so wish this was taught in sexual education at school. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, having role models like my parents or, you know, people that would educate us in this way, because that's what it is. This is purely energy.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the education that children get are pornography.
Yes.
You know, or some lame-ass sex ed class that says, oh, you might get this disease and this disease, so make sure you wear a condom.
Yes.
You know, yes. And it's like, where is the education? Where are we learning how to feel? That's where are we learning how to set healthy boundaries? Mm. You know, something that another thing Tantra's really given me that I'm very passionate about teaching is know what your fears are, know what your desires are, know what your boundaries are, and talk about that with the person that you're going to make love to. And if you feel safe enough to talk to that person about what you really desire in the bedroom and what you fear and what your boundaries are, then you shouldn't be making love to them. Mm. So it's like there is this, we're actually in the midst of creating a youth program as part of the Alaya Tantra School a syllabus, and it's going to be around sexual empowerment for teens and really teaching them about the potential of sexual energy and how the heart, especially for a woman, is so central to opening our sex. It's like you're not even taught that, which is friggin' ridiculous. And how are women supposed to know that actually they can't be fully in their bodies when they're making love if their heart's not opened, if nobody's telling them?
Yeah.
But
it's difficult.
It leads to a lot of trauma, unfortunately.
And I was going to say that there's a lot of women and men that have experienced past trauma. So it's, you know, their heart is shut down, unfortunately. And for them to open their heart fully when they're intimate with their partner, you know, there's a lot of fear that comes with that. It takes a long time for a woman, if she has experienced, you know, some form of trauma, to really open herself up in a form of, you know, feeling safe.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And men as well. It's my husband's big passion is teaching sublimation in a way than it's usually taught in Tantra. And he teaches it based on if a man's heart's not open, then it's going to be very difficult for him to sublimate and to not ejaculate.
Yeah.
And his teachings on that are beautiful and amazing. And it's like the makings of sacred union is in the knowing that both women and men need to learn to sublimate their energy into the heart and into their connection to God. And it doesn't mean you don't feel pleasure. So much pleasure is available. Just means that you're no longer localizing it there. And that's really the core of orgasmic energy being running through all the body. It's like, can the river just flow? Can the waters flow?
Yeah.
So that we're singing to God when we make love.
Yeah. It's just magic. So potent. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, tell me, who have been, you know, some of your, or who has influenced you most in your life?
Well, definitely Simon, and my husband has influenced me the most in terms of really understanding what Tantra is through my body in every way possible. And I think the devotion that he has to sacred union and to prayer has just taught me probably more in the 3 years that I've been with him than the whole 10 years that I've been exploring Tantra.
Beautiful.
But definitely Istar taught me so much. I really honor them as a school, and what they're bringing through. Bruce Lyon was my mentor, and I absolutely bow to that man. He was an incredible teacher of mine and completely changed my life. His main, like, what he's completely passionate about is inner union and marrying the masculine and feminine energies within yourself, and then really experiencing partnership, not just between, if you're a woman, your feminine and the man's masculine, but also the masculine in the woman's body with the feminine in the man's body. So actually there's this invisible partnership happening with everyone, and that's what's usually causing the problems. So he opened up this whole new world for me with that. It's like contrasexual dating, you know, and growing up my own masculine to hold the feminine in my partner. That was incredible. Yeah, and there were, you know, like, there's a place that you can enter in relationship that is so, so sacred, that just freaking shakes your heart and breaks it open. And I definitely discovered that with Bruce and the possibilities of that.
Yeah, beautiful. So have you always, do you find that you're more leaning towards your feminine or your masculine? And what has been the most dominant before, you know, you found, or before Tantra, before you found this work, you know, coming from or working in the corporate scene? I'm curious to know whether you really held yourself more in the masculine before this work.
Definitely. Yeah, it's even in the bedroom, it's like getting there. Yeah. I'm just like ride and get my clit orgasm. Yeah, get going to the office. Right, what needs to be done? And work was my biggest addiction. So definitely a big part of my journey has been into the feminine and finding my place of surrender. And I think that what I did so much work around it, but my husband also plays with ropes in a very different BDSM.
Yeah.
But he does it in a way where the rope kind of is like the Kundalini serpent. And when he introduced that into our relationship, that's when I really found my feminine. I thought I'd found her before that. But this is like, wow. Yeah, being tied and
You have no choice but to surrender into your feminine when you're being tired, when you're doing rope.
Yeah, if you stay authentic in the experience.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So what are some of your self-love rituals or daily practices that you do?
So they change a lot. I have a different self-practice that I take women through depending on what course I'm doing. So I'll usually do that course self-practice the time that I'm running it. But there's always a part of my practice where I'm entering my emotional body and feeling what there is to feel, seeing what there is to see, watching my thoughts, watching my emotions, giving my emotions some express and release. And sometimes it's just joy, you know, and sometimes there's sadness or anger or grief. So I really just allow that. And the centerpiece of my self-practice is always focusing my attention inward into my body, into my heart, into my belly, and just getting to know myself better. Sometimes I'll self-pleasure and allow some sexual energy to move through my body as I'm touching myself. There's shaking is great through Ignite Your Power. One of my courses, there was like a strong shaking practice.
Yeah.
And there's always just an element of stillness and, you know, meditation, just watching the breath and watching the thoughts that come in and out and the permutations in the body. I also, this next course I'm doing, Mastery and Purpose, part of the self-practice is really getting clear on, you know, what the life is that I would absolutely love, and seeing that for myself and really making a list of action statements that I can I can do every day, which are going to help that vision become a reality. So kind of having a master list of everything that I want to do, and then breaking that down into actions I can take every day. And that's not just my work vision, that's also playfulness. And, you know, maybe on the master list is more playfulness in my life, but that's so broad and people get stuck in broad goals. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I narrow that down today, you know, and that's like, I'm going to go for a walk along the beach, rug up and go for a walk along the beach, or I'm going to dance for at least an hour and just let my body, I love dancing, so, you know, let my body have some fun, or watch a movie with my daughter, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Part of my practice is, yeah, holding myself accountable through small actions that day of the bigger goals that I have, of the vision I have for the life that I want, which, you know, is pretty much, it's got to the point where it's almost the life I have now. What I'm really wanting to create is a temple where, you know, we can all be living on land together, my kind of inner circle, my community, and get out of this, you know, living in separate houses and doing it the hard way. Like, let's all live together and grow fruit and vegetables and cook together and dance around the fire and sing together and get the most out of this life that there is to receive, you know, really sexual energy. It extends so much more beyond what people narrow it down to. And, you know, what I was talking about before, allowing that energy to run outside the bedroom, you do that enough and then you're just like, ah, you know, you really get in touch with what it is that you want. And the mind becomes a servant rather than the master. And it's like, where's the joy? The joy isn't in talking about people and events or, you know, spiritual concepts. The joy is in, yeah, laughing together, holding each other together, practicing different healing on each other. Yeah, singing together, dancing together, cooking together, traveling together. Let's live.
Working and having fun as a collective. That sounds so good. But sometimes in reality, it can be quite challenging, you know, especially for a lot of people who are out there working the, you know, traditional, you know, 8 to 5 job and coming home, they've got children. So they're exhausted and they're too exhausted for their partner. So, you know, how can they even find time for themselves? So that's a bit of a common thing that I hear a lot.
Well, that's what inspired the course that I'm running in a month or so, Mastery and Purpose, is how do you actually get out of the matrix and get out of the safety of the 8 to 5 or 9 to 6 job and live your passion, actually trust what you love and trust your unique skill set that actually you can monetize on that. You can make a career out of that. And you don't have to sell yourself short doing something that you don't enjoy. You can actually love everything that you do when you're earning money.
It's interesting because about a year ago, I left the corporate world to give myself a bit of a break and focus on just teaching yoga and getting my coaching business up and running. However, I've made the decision not so long ago to go back into the corporate space, whether it's part-time or full-time, but as well as incorporating all that I do, all that I love as a passion. And it's been a really interesting journey because I thought I'd have so much resistance and a bit of shame around that going back to corporate, but I'm actually really excited because I'm going back with a different mentality. I've got a number of, you know, tools in my toolkit now that I can pull out, you know, when I'm feeling stressed or overworked or overwhelmed. So yeah, I'm in a whole different mindset now. So I'm so excited to be able to incorporate all that I love into one.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, the course is also for people who are already in a corporate job and just wanting to find more ease and joy in it. So it's
great.
It's like, don't know simple things like have a beautiful, nurturing cup of tea, put some music on, have a dance on your break, or get outside and get some fresh air, put your feet on the earth and feel some energy from the earth coming up into your body and allow some sexual energy to move through you to give you some energy, you know, and just as they're bringing tools into the corporate world, that's absolutely key. So it's great that you've got that. You should teach people about it. They need to know.
Yeah, I'll see if that actually unravels or evolves, you know, in my time in the corporate world, that if I get that opportunity to do that. But I read through your course, and it looked really enticing for someone like myself, and I think for many people who are in the corporate world and haven't really touched on Tantra, because people do have this misconception about Tantra, but it's so much more than this, you know, magical, mystical, sexual act, so much more than that. So I would love for you to perhaps, to give us a bit of a, for those listeners who don't really know much about Tantra, perhaps guide them, where can they start on this journey?
Well, Tantra is life. So for starters, start living, you know.
Good point.
It's like actually breathe, actually feel, actually be in your body. That's a good starting point. And then I'd say, like, you know, every soul is different. Look at what's around in your city, in your state. Some Tantra courses are a lot more shamanic. Some are just, you know, pretty much silent retreats and yoga asana, the white Tantra. Some are very free and open and wild and kind of let your animal out of the cage to explore the jungle of life. So I think that everybody's journey with Tantra is very different, and it depends what feels right for you. So, you know, obviously I vouch for my work, Alaya Tantra School. Tantra is Love and a Power in Melbourne. That's a great starting ground and introduction to Tantra, and I really love her work and love her as a person. In terms of overseas, there's Sarita, who was one of my teachers, who's incredible. So there's lots of different options. I'd say if people are wanting to get into Tantra, you know, good old Google and look up a few different schools and teachers and trust yourself. See what resonates with you. Watch a video of them. And if you're feeling your heart really beating when you listen to a teacher, and you're having you're having a bodily reaction, that's probably showing you that something there for you, you know.
Absolutely. That's how I found all my teachers, actually, and that's how I came across you. Even though it was, you know, the work that you were offering that weekend, I didn't know much about you at all, and I just watched a few videos and read, and I just felt this real pull, this resonance with you. And straight away I just said, I just need to do this. So I just love how it's just the trusting in your body. Your body will talk to you.
Yeah, and that's key to Tantra, you know, and that's part of the misconception about Tantra is that it's all about sexuality, right?
Yes.
And it's the reason that gets so much attention is because it's the only spirituality that doesn't exclude it. So it's only one little piece of the pie, but because it's a piece of the pie that no other spirituality touches, it gets a lot of attention, right?
But
it's and I do feel it's an important part because it's very in shadow in our culture, you know, and it's very repressed, and there's a lot of fear, guilt, and shame around sexuality. So once you unlock that, it helps to unlock other parts of your being. But yeah, it's definitely not reduced to that. It's a way of living life.
Yes.
Unconventionally as you and who you truly are. And it's about listening to the wisdom of your body, you know. Can I trust my body? Can I trust my heart? Can I trust my desire more than I trust the thoughts that run through my mind that are largely a result of my genetics and conditioning? It's like, you know, most people, they never change. Not only do they never change, they repeat what all of their ancestral line have done.
And
it's like they might learn all these new things, but are they really changing as a person? No, because change happens through the body, not through the mind. And if we really want to break the ancestral line of our genetics and conditioning, then we need to be in our body. We need to trust body. We need to rewire our nervous system at an embodiment level so that we can start living as who we truly are and set that as a benchmark for the future generations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful. If you were to go back, Chantal, to the 20-year-old you, take yourself back in time, what words of advice would you give yourself?
Slow down. Learn tantra. But you know, by the same token, if I learnt tantra then, I probably wouldn't have married the beautiful man that I married and wouldn't have had my children. So maybe I'd choose not to give myself any advice because I wouldn't take any of that back for the
That's right. What are some of your guilty pleasures?
Guilty pleasures. I don't have any guilty pleasures. If I'm doing something, I'm choosing to do it. So I don't feel guilty about it.
Okay. Any vices for you? I know I have a few.
Vices. What are my vices? I have the occasional cigarette. When I'm out, you know, if I'm dancing and I've had a wine or two, then tobacco. Mm-hmm. But you know, I kind of bless it on its way and spiritualize it, I guess. I'm like ground tobacco and it comes from the earth.
Yeah.
And you know, I love my food. I really love my food. So sometimes I overindulge. What about you? What are your vices?
Oh gosh. My advice is, I think definitely food. You know, I've over the years had to work on my relationship with food. I'm definitely one of these people that if you give me a big bar of chocolate, like a family size raw chocolate, and I know that's not bad, if you give a big bar of raw chocolate, I can't just have a few nibbles of it and then put it away for a rainy day. I have to eat the whole damn thing. And even if I go out and eat, I just can't just have half of it. I've got to eat the whole thing. It's just, I don't know, this relationship. My parents, I think, have created these monsters in the children. We all have very similar eating habits like that. I love to have a drink here and there. I used to be a very big time party girl, so I was very much into my recreational drugs back then. Obviously that has changed a lot over the years. If I was to do any sort of drugs, it would be plant medicine. That's my form of drugs these days. I really enjoy that. So it's probably my vices. Quite boring, really.
Well, you know, it's like I think you get to the point where you love yourself enough that it's natural not to engage with anything that doesn't serve. And tantra, you know, does give permission to allow desire and pleasure in that way too. I remember, you know, my husband telling me that he was having a chat to one of his yogi friends and this guy's really, really healthy and he was having a beer and Simon's like, oh, you know, you're drinking a beer. And he's like, yeah, I'm getting my tantra on. I'm just letting myself have pleasure. So it's like, you know, there is also that part of tantra that's not as common in spiritual communities where it's like, yeah, just fuck. If you really want to have a cigarette or if you really want to have a wine, have it. We don't have to be juicing and eating raw and clean all the time. We want to enjoy the pleasures of life.
Absolutely. And I think it's a balancing act. For me anyway, and I'm learning to be a lot more kinder with myself, especially recently going to Bali and doing a really amazing teacher training on yoga therapy where they combined hatha yoga with traditional Chinese medicine. So I really got to go deep into understanding the wisdom of my body on a very different level. And I realized how unkind I have been to myself and, more importantly, not really accepting that part, lots of parts of myself, actually, especially my shadow self and the parts I wasn't giving myself much compassion to, and really just bringing that into light and love, and it's changed me a lot. I've come back very different, especially in the way that I teach now is very different.
Yeah, beautiful. Well done.
Yeah. Great. So vision, like vision for you, your business, moving forward, what's on the go for you? I mean, you've got so many great courses and a beautiful retreat coming up, which I'm definitely looking into. So yeah, talk to me about that.
So I want to be able to reach more people around the world with embodiment practices that typically people can only get if they're working with me directly. So Tara and Antosh, who run the school with me, two beautiful people who started off as clients and then left their corporate jobs and are now working full-time with me, we're creating online courses together. And these online courses, they have a written component, a audio component, and a visual component. And we're really putting a lot of effort in. Tara's been recording me for the last 4 years in all of my courses to give people a real authentic transmission of my teachings and the embodiment practice. So lots of guidance into the body. So I'm really excited about that, the online courses. Ebooks. So each course has a manual, and these manuals are quite extensive. Each chapter is between like 10 and 20 pages. And I put a lot of energy and heart and blood and sweat into these manuals to condense everything as much as possible into the core teachings of what I feel people need to know to really open those different energetic centers in their body. Three retreats a year. So the Being Woman in India, which is an archetypal journey into embodying all of the different deities and archetypes available to us as women.
Yeah.
And obviously pilgrimage to energy has its own, to India has its own mystical, sacred transmission. That's going to be a week of discourse and ceremony and sharings that are just going to crack everyone open.
I want to be there. I so want to come.
An holy soul where they can just come back into the world and go, this is who I am.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. The Living Tantra Retreat, that happens once a year, and that's a 8-day journey through my courses, but I'm condensing each course into one day. So going through each chakra. So it's like day one is life tantra. Day two is sacred sexuality. Day three is ignite your power, shadow work. Day four is relationship tantra. Day five is mastery and purpose, which is all around the throat, expressing your soul truth. Day six is awaken the dream and shamanic energetics. And then day seven is mystical awakening to our mystical power. So we did that this year, and that was in Bali at an incredible resort. And that's mixed, that's for men and women, and that just blew people out of the water. And then we're introducing another retreat next year, which will be a tantra training. I've been getting asked for many years, when are you going to do a tantra training? So I'm finally doing that.
Fantastic.
I've had a few hesitations, but now I feel clear. So that'll be happening in Koh Phangan in Thailand. So, yeah, three retreats a year, ebooks, online courses, and then we're getting a YouTube channel going, and that's really for people who can't afford to go to retreats or the online courses, or don't quite want to commit to a full journey into Tantra, but are ready for a snippet into different practices and ideas that can slowly start filtering into their life and making positive changes to them and to their children and to the people around them. You know, I am quite passionate about the next generation and helping our children to get the messages that we missed the memo for, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you are going to be a very busy woman.
Yeah, I am a very busy woman. But, you know, you're living your passion, it doesn't feel busy, it just feels like part of your life, and I really love sharing. So thank you for giving me the opportunity, darling.
If people want to contact you, Chantal, or find you, where can they? I'll put this all in the show notes as well, but where can they find you? Where's your best contact?
So elia.com.au, elia.com.au, that's my website, and there's videos on there, lots of blogs to help people.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
That was really weird. That was weird. We got cut out. So I know you are busy. You have to attend to a client. So I just really wanted to, take this opportunity to say thank you so much. Such a pleasure to speak to you on all things Tantra and hear the amazing work that you are doing in the community. And I really look forward to working with you soon and hearing all about the great, the great courses, retreats that are coming up for you. Yeah, and staying and being in touch.
I'd love that, Sharon. Great to talk to you too, darling.
Thank you, darling.
Okay, have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye.